Hey, good morning. Good morning. The kids are going back. If you don't think you learn more from our kids about worship during the last song, don't hide it under a bushel. Let my light shine. I was watching Nyla and right, it's Nyla, right? And London and Houston. Man, they were getting it. They were getting it. That was pretty cool. But why, as we become adults, are we afraid? You know, God's heard it, or God said it, Jesus said it, out of the mouths of babes. Guys, He's blessed us with children. He's blessed us with children. And sometimes we lose focus of how simple Christianity is. Those kids were just, they're praising the Lord. Pretty cool to watch. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. And Lord, again, I am amazed at how you pull things together. The songs today, the visions I've seen of the kids, and Lord, a couple of the words Matt used, wrath, love, it all comes together. Your plan is perfect. Lord, I just ask you to take me out, shut my brain down, shut my mind off, and let me focus on you today, Lord. And you be let me be your mouthpiece, what you want to be said here today. In your name we pray. Amen. So, I of course, didn't have anything for Julie on Friday. Well, I did, but I was struggling with it. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to go there. The message was going to be God's wrath. So, weird. And then once I really was thinking and praying on that, he said, you know what? I want you, and this is why it's not in the bulletin, I want you to title this sermon the greatest sermon ever told, ever preached. And guys, I'm here to tell you, today's not it. Today is not it. I will never claim to be the greatest, give the greatest sermon ever preached. This sermon came from Jesus himself. Okay? In Jesus' ministry, you know, since Christmas, I had the Christmas message, and I've kind of went through his life, and we're leading into Easter, and I think I counted, guess who has Easter? Sorry, guys. You may want to go to a different church on Easter. But here, we're in a time now where Jesus is in his ministry, and you know, I don't know exactly how close to the crucifixion we are, but we're getting close. We're getting close. And we're going to be in Matthew 5 today. I'll give everybody a chance to go there. And I'm going to attempt to do the Sermon on the Mount justice today. Because this was the greatest sermon, the greatest preaching ever. And I'm not going to do it justice, so I'm getting out of the way. Here's what I'll tell you. How was everybody's week, first of all? Mine was pretty good. We had a couple glitches, but I'm not going to bring those up. But, you know, I've said before, I'm the softball coach, and we were able to be outside. We were able to have our first scrimmage this week, and we start 3 freshmen, and we start 2 seniors. One senior hasn't played since she was 7. She attends church here, and I've told you before, I wanted her to play softball because of her leadership attributes more so than her athletic or her softball ability. And so we get to our first scrimmage on Thursday, and Lexi plays for me, and she's playing either right field or left field, and she's batting like ninth in the lineup, which is no big deal, but So it comes around to her time to bash. She's flying out in the field. Well, first, the bus ride over was dead silent. I had three freshmen, three sophomores, two seniors, and one junior to start. And it was quiet. Because these kids were nervous. You know, I'm pretty easygoing when it comes to softball. I've never yelled at anybody. I'm not going to lie. But it's getting close to game time, so we've progressed in our practices and got to where I think we're almost ready to go, and then there's 15 things I think about that I haven't covered. And I'm... But anyway, these kids are nervous, and they've played a lot of ball, so they really don't have anything. It's a scrimmage. Lexi has not played a lot of ball, and she came up to bat her first time, and it was like the second inning, and I told them who was coming up, and she's like, I'm batting. I said, yeah, you're batting. It's a scrimmage. You're going to bat. She said, man, I can't bat. I said, Lexi, you're going to bat. So I pulled her aside when she was on deck, and I said, listen, if you don't feel comfortable swinging, I'll tell you what I told Shelby many, many times. You go up and put your feet on the edge of the chalk, really close to the plate, and take it in the thigh. Shelby will verify that. That's what I've told her. She didn't. Lexi went up, took a couple swings. I tried to bunt her once and fouled it off, and then she struck out. But after that, it was like, okay, this is not that bad, right? And I relate that to our Christianity because we get so worked up, or at least I get so worked up about being in situations where I have to share my faith or share my testimony or share whatever. You know, once God opens that door and I get started, I think, that's not so bad. But it's the anticipation that makes us crazy because we think about it. Guys, I want us to be like those kids. I don't want us to think. I just want us to worship, to praise, to show God's love every single day. All right, let's get into this. One last thing I will announce. Lexi's playing in the Mount Vernon News All-Star Game on Friday. That game starts at 5. It's at Fredericktown High School. I have no idea what it costs to get in. I have no idea, whatever. I just wanted to make you aware. She is the Mount Vernon area leading scorer and second leading rebounder, I believe. So this is going to be a game. Should be fun to watch. As her softball coach, I told her, remember, there's no defense, there's no boxing out, there's no post play in this game. You stand outside the three-point line, you catch the ball, you shoot. And then you can stand the half court. You don't have to get involved in any of the ruckus, because I don't want to hurt. Because we have a softball doubleheader the next day. But I know she'll compete, and I know she'll do well. But if anybody wants to go to that, it's at Fredericktown at 5 o'clock on Friday. All right. Matthew chapter 5. Okay, Jesus was, he had called his disciples. He was starting to heal people. He was starting to give miraculous signs. And here in chapter 5 we see, well, I'm just going to restart reading. I think Alan's got it on. It says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And again, I talked the last time about the crowd and the woman that was healed because of her faith, because she reached out and Jesus felt her, because he felt power come out of him and go to her to heal her. Jesus had a following. He was the Bible Day rock star. He was LeBron James. Whoever. He had people following him everywhere. Okay? So he goes up on this mountainside and he sits down. I can just see Jesus doing it. He's just like, you know what? I don't need all this. I'm going to walk away, climb the mountain, sits down. And what happens? The disciples come as those little children would come and they sit at his feet. And Jesus starts in. He says, in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Guys, do we fall into one of those categories? Yeah, we better. We better, but remember, his disciples, these guys were pretty young Christians at this time. And he was trying to explain to them, look, you take up my cross, man, and you get spit on, you get whatever, you get ridiculed, you get yelled at. It's for your own good. Because you are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with imagining heaven. All I see is gold. Everywhere. Just gold streets, gold whatever. I don't even know if I see buildings. I just see gold paths. And just people just rejoicing all the time. And that's pretty cool. And God's telling us if we're persecuted, if we're meek, if we mourn, if we hunger and thirst, we will inherit the kingdom of heaven. So I'm going to break some of these down. But here, I'm going to give you five reasons why I think, well, not why I think, why I know this is the greatest sermon ever. Number one, Jesus preached with authority. Jesus wasn't up there stammering around. Jesus knew this to be fact. He knew this to be fact. And I struggled reading some of that. Jesus is not reading anything here. He is speaking, having a conversation with his disciples about the inheritance they're going to receive. And it turns out being to all the people, too, that hear this. Guys, we have access to this 24/7. If you don't read your Bible every day or have a plan to read your Bible, I challenge you to this week, go to Matthew 5 and read them Beatitudes every day. Because then maybe it leads to something else. This is the hunger, or the food for your hunger. Okay. Without authority, are we motivated to obey? And this is why Jesus having the ultimate authority is important. And I want you to think about this as when you grew up, if your parent told you something, what happened? You did it. Right? Why? Because they have that authority. They have that experience. Now, if your sibling told you to do something, do they have the authority to tell you what to do? No. Nolan, correct. Nolan, are you the idea guy? Are you the planner? Or are you the actor? I figured he was the planner. Yeah, he's got Caleb, so hey, Caleb, go do this. All right? But that is the Jesus' authority. We don't want to take our Christianity from me, right? Because I'm your sibling. I'm your brother in Christ. I'm going to take my authority from our Savior. Okay, number two. In everything Jesus did, Jesus preached the words of his Father. Okay? This is why we don't follow man. Because what happens when man starts preaching? Man starts being successful. Man starts talking to other people about it. It becomes about the man. Guys, I don't ever want that to become. I know Matt doesn't, Les doesn't, Doug doesn't. We don't want this to become about us because it's not. It's not. I think you know by now in every message that is preached from here, that's not a message we came up with. Matt prays about it, Les prays about it, I pray about it. I drive around in my car all week thinking about it. And I sometimes still don't have an answer until Saturday. Because I have to weed through all my ideas and then listen to the Father. Okay? Number three. Jesus preached the message of the kingdom. He preached all these principles to live by if we want to be successful. But we must first search the kingdom of God and seek out the kingdom of God. You know, if you got a bunch of rules, but what do you do if you break one of those rules? Nothing happens. What do you do if you achieve all those rules? Nothing happens. Guess what? Those rules are going to become, I don't care about them. Guys, many different times Jesus has laid out in this book rules for us to live by. And these Beatitudes, this whole Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' little Cliff Notes version of how we should live our lives. Number four. I love this one. Jesus preached without the fear of men. And I've talked about this before. Every time I preach, and it's still true today, and we've been doing this for, what, 3 years? 3.5 years? My hands are frozen. My feet are frozen. Okay? That is my nervous whatever before I preach. And if I don't get that way, I start getting scared. Because, I don't want it to be about me. And when I get too cocky and arrogant, I don't get nervous and let God fill me up. So Matthew 5, 11 and 12. And here's a verse I can go to. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Guys, don't take this the wrong way. If I'm up here preaching God's word, it's not for your response. It's because God laid that on my heart and I'm being obedient to what God wants me to do. There's going to be sermons that I preach that are clunkers. Okay? There's going to be sermons that everybody's going to like. But at the end of the day, understand that I am preaching because God has told me, Matt, I need you to get up there and preach. And I'm going to be obedient to that. Whether I'm good at it, bad at it, whatever, that doesn't mean anything to me. It's about my obedience to God. But understand that Jesus got up and preached. He didn't care what people thought. This dude he's preached from a boat. He's preached while walking on water. He preached to his disciples. He preached from the cross. He's preaching from a mountainside here today. He was probably like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving me someplace peaceful to preach today. He didn't have a stage up here. He preached at executions where people were going to get stoned. He preached at little kids on their deathbeds. He went in, healed them, and showed people the love of his Father. This dude had an audience everywhere he went. But he preached without fear of what men thought. That's what ultimately led him to the cross. Because you know what he preached with? He preached with you and me on his mind. Because he knew what was coming. And he preached anyway. Guys, I know what's coming. It's not a cross for me. It's the heavens opening up and me going to see my Lord. Okay? And if you think I'm scared of that, you're crazy. I don't think I want it to happen today, but I'm not in control. It's going to be glorious. Number five, Jesus preached the greatest commandment. And I'm not going to go through all of chapter 5, but there's some I want you to pick up on. And we're going to go to 43 through 47. Mine's entitled Love for Enemies. 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Ha! That's not what we teach here in the world. Not what we teach here in the world. Our enemy, we want to get back at them. Right? If somebody does me wrong, what's the first thing? If I'm driving down the road, or like in Matt's case, if he's working on a truck, somebody drives by 90 miles an hour, splashes water on him when it's already 25 degrees out, I don't think Matt's saying, hey, I love you for that. Well, he probably does. When somebody cuts me off on the road, I'm telling you, I don't always say, I love you for that. But you know what does happen after I lose my mind? God says, hey, idiot. Have you ever been there? And then he brings up a time in my past where I knew something somebody else. They didn't love me for it. Love your enemies or those who persecute you. And here's why. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. What does that verse say? That verse is telling you guys, listen, God loves me the same as He does somebody else that doesn't know. He loves the head of the class as well as the bottom of the class. Player number one, player number 26. And that's really hit home to me. And you know, I've got more joy out of coaching this year because I've learned that I need to be just as giving to player 26 as I am to player number one because they're just I am Christian number 10 million, I'm telling you. But God loves me enough, He sent His Son, and He thought about me while He was on that cross. So let's keep reading. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Guys, you know, a lot of times what happens in a church is churches get these own little groups, these own little cliques. And it happens in schools, it happens in life, it happens in teams. And you know the best, and I relate everything to sports, sorry, but you know the best sports team that I can, that I've seen in my lifetime was a group of college kids in 1984, I believe, that represented the United States of America in the Winter Olympics. And they were playing a team of professional. These guys were like undefeated against everybody. They were phenomenal, the Russians. You know what happened? The coach of that team, just that team molded together and it became so cohesive that these young American kids went out and beat a team that was unbeatable. That's a miracle on ice. I don't know whether it's 80 or 84, whatever. The year isn't all that important. But guys, that's what we can do as Christians. We have a formidable foe. Satan is at work every single day of our life. And he knows how the best way to beat us is. Has anybody ever thought about that? Because I'm sure in here we have 50 people or whatever. Everybody's crutch is not the same in here that Satan attacks. We may have some that overlap. Our enemy is, he's a great one. Our God is greater. And if we can continue to focus on each other and focus on our love and God's love and be a united church, and I'm not talking this church, I'm talking big church. Okay? We're not quite there yet. But if we ever get to that point where the big corporate church is focused on nothing but God, we win. We win! We don't have to play the game. We win, but we got all this other junk in our life, right? We have all these other things we want to fight about and blame and whatever. Listen, I'm going to live by that passage right there. I love your enemy. You don't have to respect him. You gotta love your enemy. We got a lot of bad going on in this world. That's why it's so important for us as Christians to pray about all the bad as well as the good. But we have to pray for stuff we wouldn't necessarily want to pray for. Why? Because he died on the cross for us. To me, it all comes back to that. It all comes back to that. And it comes back to this sermon where Jesus is laying it out for us exactly what we're supposed to do. And if you have a thing going on in your life, I mean, this thing is like three chapters, more than that. Five through eight, basically. But I mean, I'll just go through it real quick. I mean, salt and light, fulfillment of the law, murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, eye for an eye, love your enemies, giving to the needy, prayer, fasting, treasures in heaven, do not worry, judging others, ask, seek, and knock. We're going to go there right now. I promise I'll get it tied up. Chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law of the prophets. And we know that as what? A lot of us know that as the golden rule. Do for others what you want done for you. Guys, that's biblical. It's Jesus talking. Yeah, but I don't think Jesus really knows what Jimmy did to me last week. He does. I don't think Jesus knows what my kids said to me. He does. I don't think Jesus really knows what I did. He does. He's thought about it all. That's how powerful our God is. He thought about every single sin we're going to commit in our lifetime, times 30 billion people or whatever. Do we understand how big our God is? He was thinking about me 2,000 years ago when he was hanging on the cross. I'd have been begging to get me off the cross. But you know what? Jesus asked God, if this burden can be taken care of, take care of it some other way. But if it cannot be, I will do your will. And that's paraphrased by Matt. Okay? I will do your will. So many times when we ask for something, we just ask for it because we want to ask for it. Guys, we need to be bold in what we ask for because if we ask, he's going to give. We need to be bold, but we need to make sure that we understand God's will in every situation. You know, I had a situation this week, and I'm not going to go into detail, but I was not very happy. And, man, I caused a lot of pain with some stuff I said. Caused a lot of pain with how I acted. I mean, I'll be honest, I was not happy. I flew off the handle. Number one, it was cutting into my bedtime. Matt said I only need 3 hours of sleep. That's all I got that day, so it was good. I was good. Okay? But as I thought about it, and as I got to help in that situation, by the end of it, that could have been a lot worse. And it's not because of anything I did that it wasn't. Because if God was paying me for what I did, that should have been a lot worse. But God already covered my sin because he knew what I was going to say that night on the phone. And he took care of it. I really had to think. I really had to pray because I was not nice. By the end of it, I was able to give a hug and say, I love you. We're moving forward. And that's not because I'm great. That's because our God's great. So we're going to end with this. If you have questions today about what God can do for you, guys, there's a lot of people in this church that can help you with that. A lot of people. If you have questions about where you're at with God, there are people that can help you with that. If you come to me and I don't know an answer, you know who I'm going to? I'm going to Les, I'm going to Matt, I'm going to the Bible. Okay? And I don't go to Les or Matt because I think they're closer to God than me. I go to Les or Matt because I know they're more polished than me at the Bible. But I guarantee you, if they don't know it, we're going to dig in. We're going to find you the answer. And we will absolutely pray for you. Because we're nothing more than broken sinners that God's called to preach. Nothing more than broken sinners that God has laid on our hearts to get up here and talk in front of people. So as we have praise band, we'll be here. I'll be here. If you have anything weighing on you, Let's take today to turn everything over. He can handle it. He can handle it. He wants to handle it. And if you ever have questions about Christianity, go back to that Matthew 5. You'll find a lot of answers right there. Okay? There's a lot of answers throughout the Bible, but you can find a lot of answers. That was Jesus directly speaking God's word. Let's close. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for sending your Son. We thank you for that sermon he gave that day on the mountainside. And Lord, we know that 2,000 years later, that still applies to us today. Lord, we understand that we have to change our way of thinking through you, Lord, in order to be the best Christian we can be and to try to become more like you. Lord, just as we go through the week this week, continue to put us in situations that we can show your love, that we can build our relationship with you deeper. Lord, as we're headed into the Easter season, we know that you came and died, but we also know that you rose again to beat death. And you did that for me and for every other Christian in this world. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray.